In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This day in the church year is historically called Misericordia. I think I pronounced that wrongly in Latin, but that's okay. This means the goodness, the mercy of the Lord Sunday. It is alternatively called Good Shepherd Sunday, Sunday of the Good Shepherd. Now, when Christ says that he is our good shepherd, what we are to understand by this word good, beyond anything else, so chiefly we are to understand this, is that he lays down his life for his sheep. This is what it means that he is the good shepherd. There are many other qualities of a shepherd. But according to Jesus' own words in John 10, the highest quality is laying down his life for his sheep. And so what that means is that on this Sunday, this Good Shepherd Sunday, we are transported back to Holy Week, back to Good Friday. In this season of resurrection, of joy, of alleluias, of empty tombs, we are thrown back to his sacrifice, his death on the Holy Cross. Because he cannot be the good shepherd without Good Friday. Cannot happen. Unless he is also that slain shepherd, he will not be the good shepherd. Now, Christ could have come to us and provided us with food and drink and shelter and medicine and protection and all the things we think to be good in this life. And he still wouldn't have been the good shepherd. He would have been the nice shepherd. He would have been the nurturing shepherd. And he would have given you a comfortable, easy life in this world. But a nice shepherd would not have saved you from your sins. He would have been an appeasing shepherd, a charitable shepherd, a generous shepherd. But he would not have been good without Good Friday. For those who only want to gaze upon the innocent, non-judgmental face of a tranquil, nurturer shepherd that exists only in uninformed, false sentimentality, then woe to us, because we would still be lost in our sin. We would have completely misunderstood our lost condition. We would have completely misunderstood just how sick we truly are and just how much we need rescuing, because we can't do it ourselves. We're just talking about this in Sunday school. We need rescuing. We don't need a little shot in the arm. We don't need Jesus as a cheerleader on the sidelines, egging us on. We need rescuing, totally. And so, left to our own imaginations, we would have wanted a Christ to be like us, just a little nicer and a little more generous. But we didn't simply need greener grass or calmer, cleaner water, or to only lie down in safety. We need to be completely and utterly reborn. We needed our sinful lives drowned and destroyed in the waters of baptism. And we need to be restored to life again in those regenerative waters, St. Paul says. And that the Good Shepherd has done for us, each and every one of us. By his death and his resurrection, he is and is rightly to be called good. St. Peter says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. That's what he says. This is the goodness of the Lord for you. He does not hold you responsible for your sins. He does not count them against you. In fact, he takes them from you and bears them in his body on the cross. And from you, he requires no explanation, no reasons for why you did what you did, no excuses, no bargains, and no empty promises that you can't make good on. He only wants you to acknowledge who and what you are, which is a sinner in desperate need of the Good Shepherd. The call now to everyone on earth is to repent. Every one of us. But don't ever despair. And don't ever run away. Don't stray from the flock of the shepherd. Repent and look to him for forgiveness and mercy that come new each and every day. He is the good shepherd who's given his life to have you. To have you and your children and your spouse and all of your friends, and to raise them up with himself. And this is why his voice is still heard in the Holy Church today, all over the world. The voice of the Good Shepherd is there so that wherever his little lambs are pierced by sin or some vice or some passion, they may be healed, totally, unchained from that which bound them before. You see, God wants you to be free of your sin. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to punish you for them. But if you do not wish to be free of them, or if you do not want to seek relief from their constant burden, and you know that your sins are a constant burden, or if you don't think that God's word is true when it calls a particular thing a sin, and you continue in it, or even worse, you lead one of Christ's little ones, one of the least of his flock, astray into that same sin, then in the end, it is the unhappy reality that those sins will sever you from the life in Christ forever. All must stand before him at the judgment and give an account for what they've done. God forces nothing on you. Nothing. No matter how much he does not want us to perish. The impenitent, those who do not know and do not listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, they call themselves from the flock. Right? That is what excommunication is. No one excommunicates anyone but only ourselves. We do it to ourselves. We call ourselves from the flock. But here's how it works in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God gladly and freely pardons you from your sins. He gladly gives you free and peaceful conscience, having acknowledged your sins to him and being forgiven by Christ. And he does this for you at almost every moment in the divine service, even as the words being preached to you right now, right? They are, the word of God coming to you now is operative. It is God working upon you, forgiving you your sins. It is the word of God at work in his church. He's put that own word into your hearts, into your ears, through the lips of his under-shepherd serving here, as tired as he is today. The authority that Christ has given to his pastors, right, it's not over earthly matters, right? It's not commanding men to war. It's over the consciences of men, right? We're not generals of the army. What are pastors? We're men under orders. That's what we are. Under orders from Christ. And we have the command to preach the goodness of the Lord and to tend to his flocks with the holy sacraments. So learn this truth well. And it sounds so simple, but I think it is so easily missed today. Christ is for you. He has come for you. And he offers his forgiveness freely to you in the gospel, in the sacraments, in the words pronounced upon you, in the absolution. And you who hear this word and trust that God has pardoned your sins in the death of the Good Shepherd and wish to be rid of them, you already have eternal life, even now, even now. It makes no difference what kind of sins you have committed, how wretched of a creature you've been in this life, or how much your past sins still, to this day, war inside of you. How negligent you've been to the commands of the Good Shepherd to give him worship. Christ will always, always hear your confession, and he will always forgive you in your penitence. Always. Christ will always receive you back. Always. Because the first thing, the chief thing that we look to when we look to Christ is that he has laid down his life for us so that we may be safe from the wolf and all of the wolves in sheep's clothing that have penetrated even the front lines of Holy Church and occupy her pulpits today. That St. Paul says will preach twisted things, drawing men to themselves. We look to him, and we see that he's put himself in harm's way. Lets his own blood be shed so that yours won't have to be. He gives himself for you. Since Jesus is your good shepherd, who was willing even to give you his own life, then it follows that you are his little lambs under his protection. And he calls you, and he speaks to you, so that you may remain with him and not wander off into dangerous territory, which there is so much of, so that you not be cut off from his presence and his grace and his mercy and his love that he's just waiting to give to you. This then is what it means to be a Christian, to be a true follower of Christ. That you be like little lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. And you follow it. You follow him. Jesus is not like a hired hand. Someone who's just, you know, looking out for his resume or caring about his own ego. Doesn't care for the sheep. He knows every one of you by name. Every hair on your head is precious to him. He knows all of the things that you fear, all of your weaknesses, all of your flaws and blemishes and sins. He knows them. And yet you are his prized possession, his pearl of great price. He gave up all he had to win you back from hell and from Satan. And true to form, your good shepherd leads you beside the still waters and gives you what you need through the valley of the shadow of death, even his very body and his very blood. Through this valley of death, while listening to your shepherd's voice, you can actually have a clear conscience. You can actually rest in the promises that Christ has made to you, because your sins don't accuse you anymore, and you have no cause to fear any evil that could come your way. And with his rod and his staff, he fends off every single wolf that seeks to devour you. You see, to you, his beloved flock, his little lamb, his rod and his staff are actually a comfort, and you long for them. And now he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, in front of hell and all of the devils that he took you from. And he fills this blessed chalice with the wine of his mercy, his holy and precious blood. And your cup now absolutely runneth over. Because the shepherd of your soul, the true and the good shepherd, has come for you. In Jesus' name.